Religion and violence. It's a complex and currently very topical question in countries all over the world. How different communities have used violence in the past to impose their faith on others, and how they're working to disassociate themselves from violence and conflict today.
I think we've learned from the past mistakes of history that you don't impose religion, you don't impose God's will, you propose what the values of the gospel appear to be, in a way that the current generation can understand.
Monsignor Peter Fleetwood is a coordinator of the Committee for Relations with Muslims in Europe, which reports back to the Council of European Catholic Bishops' Conferences and the mainly Protestant and Orthodox Conference of European Churches. That committee has been meeting in Rome this past week to continue discussing ways in which Christian leaders in Europe can work together with their Muslim counterparts and ease tensions that are never very far away from the surface.
It was topical for this group anyway from its inception, which it really first met last year in Paris. And it was decided in Paris that we should do something on violence. Therefore, this spring there were a couple of very good detailed presentations. One from a Catholic Dominican father working in Istanbul. Another one from a French lady working in Grenoble. And what took over that meeting, in a sense, was the way the violence in France last autumn was politicised and made religious. For example, really what was going on was not young Islamic boys making an Islamic point. It was young boys belonging to an alienated culture who have no future and who feel betrayed and abandoned by the French state. Straight away, of course, they were condemned as rubbish by the Interior Minister, and that just escalated things. And some people who weren't involved in those demonstrations managed to put a religious label on it. But most Muslim leaders in France said this is not right. From the non-Muslims, it's a misunderstanding. From the Muslims involved, it's a wicked way of abusing religion. So that kind of took over our thoughts, really, in spring. But then we said, what do we do? Do we produce a text, which I know the church leaders and the bishops' conference presidents would like? Or the alternative was, do we do something else? And one of the something else's is the possibility of putting together a newsletter. The two people who did the presentations before want to present a model of a newsletter and also of an ongoing conversation to help the bishops, presidents and the leaders of the other churches in Europe. Somebody else wants to say what's going on in England, and so on and so forth. It's one of the real beauties of this group. We have experts from most of the continent. Two Norwegian ladies, a Danish lady, a canon from the Church of England in Leicester, a Russian Orthodox representative of the Moscow Patriarchate, Dominicans in Turkey, Malta and Scotland, and many more. So while we know violence is there on the agenda, we don't quite know how we're going to make a decision on what to produce. I suspect we may be encouraged to produce something brief, a major guideline for bishops and church leaders on how to approach the whole question of violence in Islam.
In September this year, Pope Benedict's thoughts on the subject of religion and violence at Regensburg University were seized upon as another motive for mounting tensions across the Muslim world. Monsignor Fleetwood says despite all the difficulties, they have opened up interesting discussions in both Muslim and Christian communities.
I have a funny feeling if he'd said one more sentence just before using that quotation, something like, I know this is a problem for our Muslim brothers and sisters. It's a problem of the way they feel perceived. It's a problem of the way they perceive themselves. But they're not alone. We too have fundamentalisms abounding in our own world. I think that would have made all the difference. And instead of being a quickly misunderstood and abused comment, it could have, might have opened so many doors. As it is, I suppose the silver lining in that cloud is that there has been great discussion, and we're all obliged now to take that discussion forward. I have heard one criticism which will come from one of our group who works in Turkey. It's all very well saying that Platonic reason and Western rationalism must be part of the deal. He said, not if you're working here. in Turkey. And I imagine people in Indonesia and India and China might say the same. So it'll be very interesting. That's one of the richnesses of this group. We're bound to get some surprises.
Certainly in our Western countries, though, we are constantly hearing this charge of exploitation of Islamic thought, exploitation of the reactions. The reaction to Regensburg, of course, was one particularly poignant example. Can you tell us anything about the ideas, perhaps the suggestions that are being made to bishops, to church leaders, to deal with this from a Catholic perspective?
In a way, it seems macabre to laugh about all this, but something very peculiar and funny came in the local paper in Switzerland where I live. It was a letter from a reader to the paper, and he quoted one of these banners with a slogan on it that he'd seen as a photograph of a demonstration, and it said, "Death to anybody who says Islam is a violent religion." And I suppose that ironically shows the state of affairs, because there are many Muslims who want Islam to win the cultural battle, and the religious battle, if you like. I hate to use that term, but some people do see the Western world as such a decadent place that Allah's will, God's will, needs to be reimposed. That would not be the typical Christian idea, the Christian idea. Maybe it was once upon a time, but I think we've learned from the past mistakes of history that you don't impose religion. You don't impose God's will, you propose what the values of the gospel appear to be in a way that the current generation can understand. And maybe it'll be along those lines that this discussion has to go. How should God's will be presented to people? And maybe not to use the words Islam and Christianity particularly, but to join forces and say, yes, we all agree there's a lot lacking in the moral fibre of Western culture. Do we do battle with it? Or do we engage with it in a different way? And maybe culture is the sphere where we can most productively engage with the argument about the moral quality of current society. I think, to be perfectly honest, you have to look at the Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Indonesia, parts of the Philippines, India, and Pakistan, places where Islam is the order of the day, and see if justice is done there, see if the moral quality of life there is any better. I think particularly in terms of social justice for the poor, there are many questions to be asked there as there are here. So it might be safer, wiser, to move away from the strictly religious and the strictly political and stick with the cultural field where we can both agree, at least in an assessment of the situation, and then perhaps also agree in a way of approaching the situation.
The British government, back in your own country, is trying to do this, isn't it? Talking about a multicultural Britain, trying to get the different faith groups working together in the kind of way you're talking about, and yet there's a lot of criticism of this model it's trying to propose.
I've heard a very interesting point made by a sociologist that the word multiculturalism is a defeatist word, because what many people really want is a united mentality in a country, which means one culture with perhaps many strands. But to speak of a multicultural country means you leave people to lead parallel lives, because you're speaking in terms of people not really engaging, going along together, but you do your thing, I'll do mine. There must be a way of getting closer. I know a lot of people in different countries in Europe are scared stiff of what they know of their own culture being taken over by something they don't know. And they see in Islam a very powerful force in that way. And fear seems to be guiding most people's reaction. And that's a very sad state of affairs. What the British government is right about is that we really do need to get to know each other much better. But I don't think that means, and I don't think they mean, reducing everything to the lowest common denominator. I think it really does mean neighbourliness at a very deep level. There are some absolutely mad ideas being put forward at the moment, but I think it's a time of experimenting with possibilities, and I don't think we should overreact to mad ideas. So maybe it really is a time for everybody to do a lot of listening. Well, I think the churches can also do a lot of speaking. a thing that was both positive and negative in this year for me was being part of a Vatican delegation meeting very high-level Muslims in Brussels and seeing the difference between people who come from Muslim countries and people who are strong Muslims, Muslim leaders even, in European countries. Their approach is totally different. So maybe there's something also to be said for listening to the European voices of Islam, not the ones that are still dominated from other countries, but ones who are third, fourth generation people who really appreciate the place they live in, but also really appreciate their religion and their heritage.
And my thanks there to Monsignor Peter Fleetwood, coordinator of the CCEE KEC, Committee for Relations with Muslims in Europe.